and welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. And it is a winter wonderland across portions of southeastern North Carolina this morning. Some major snowfall happening overnight. We've got a live camera this morning out at Wrightsville Beach, and you can see now with the sun coming up here a couple minutes after 7 o'clock, you've got some individuals taking pictures of the snowy conditions out at the beach. Looks like a dog, a couple of other things out there as well. That's over at SurfCheck, CHEX.com. This morning, as we continue to track the winter weather, most of the region saw between about 2 and 4 inches of snow. I'm up off Gordon Road, saw about 3 inches there overnight. The highest total that I saw coming in from southeastern North Carolina was in the Whiteville area, where they got 6 inches of snow. So very much overperforming in terms of some of those snowfall totals over in parts of Columbus County with Whiteville. Across the Wilmington metro, pretty bog standard, 2 to 4 inches. This is the first time that we've seen some significant measurable snowfall since 2018. That's where you have to go back. The last time that we saw some snowfall in the region that was at this level. Snow doesn't happen very often in this area of the state, this region of southeastern North Carolina. However, with those chilly temperatures, it's currently 22 degrees in Wilmington right now. With those very chilly temperatures, snow obviously prime for the condition. But I noted as I was outside this morning that this is not your traditional fluffy snow that you would expect if you were in portions of the Northeast or the Midwest. This is a very firm snowfall. It's a lot of sleet in associated with it as well, and that's going to make driving conditions pretty hazardous and hectic throughout the day today. So if you are not having to travel, you're probably advised not to do so, as crews from DOT will get out over the next couple of hours and get everything squared away to get businesses back open and the roads cleared out for Thursday morning. Again, you are looking live this morning at Wrightsville Beach. You can see the snow line. I'm going to try and head out there after the show here this morning, where you've got the snow on the sand, and you can see it right there. Then you've got this area in which the surf has come up that is left with sand, and then the ocean itself. A pretty cool shot falling over at Wrightsville Beach this morning. That video courtesy of SurfChecks, CHEX.com. If you've got any snow reports, throw them in our live chats this morning on YouTube, Rumble, or X. We'll check back in with that camera throughout the program this morning. Well, it is now the second full day in office for the 47th president of the United States in Donald Trump. And in his first day yesterday, he announced a major project that specifically deals with AI infrastructure. Trump made the announcement yesterday evening around 6 o'clock inside the White House and announced a joint venture between Oracle, which is a major technology database company, SoftBank, and OpenAI. OpenAI are the ChatGPT people. The project is called the Stargate Project, and that's the joint company. According to the president, he says that the project will invest some $500 billion in the U.S. at least, and could have the possibility, the opportunity of creating over 100,000 American jobs. Trump said, quote, "It'll ensure the future of technology. What we want to do is we want to keep this in country. China is a competitor, and others are competitors. Immediately, Stargate will begin the physical and virtual infrastructure to power this next generation of advancement in AI. And this includes the construction of a Colossus data center." In a press release from OpenAI and SoftBank, the companies that they are leading partners for Stargate, with SoftBank having the financial responsibility, obviously, and no surprise there, with OpenAI being the kind of back end of it with their AI, the regenerative AI products. With that, they are going to be working with other companies, key technology partners, including Microsoft, NVIDIA, ARM, and of course, Oracle, who's also in this as well. The according to Trump, he says, quote, "This infrastructure will secure American leadership in AI, create hundreds of thousands of jobs, and generate massive economic benefit for the entire world. This project will not only support the reindustrialization of the United States, but also provide a strategic capability to protect the national security of America and its allies. The company intends to invest $500 billion over the next 4 years, with $100 billion being deployed immediately." We heard some of those comments from the SoftBank CEO and as well as Sam Altman, who is the founder or one of the co-founders and who leads operations over at OpenAI, which again is the ChatGPT product. So in his first full day in office, a major infrastructure announcement. And with that, you know, I kind of mentioned this yesterday. I was talking to a friend of mine. I forgot how much different Trump was from Biden. Now, obviously, from a policy standpoint and all of that, we know the differences. But I think I'm going to step out on a limb this morning and say this. I think Donald Trump has taken more questions from the media, has conversed more with the media in the past 72 hours than Joe Biden probably has in the last year, year and a half, 2 years. He took questions in the Oval Office on Monday night. He took questions multiple times yesterday outside the White House, inside the White House after this big AI announcement. He has spoken to the press more in the last 2 days than Joe Biden has in multiple years in the Oval Office. And I really forgot how different it was. And, you know, for, of course, all of the haters, all of the naysayers, all of the individuals that say, you know, Trump is he's not fit to serve. He's not capable of serving. He's not transparent. He's shady. All this, that, and the other. This guy has given more access to the office of the presidency than any president in modern history. That is a fair, accurate, and just statement to make. In modern history, nobody else has given more access to the White House, to the ongoings in government, than Donald Trump. And you can't argue that fact. Now, you might hate the guy. You might be suffering from the disease that we know as TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. But you can't argue in his ability to speak, his willingness to discuss, you know, what's going on. Because he does it every day, multiple times a day, to and from helicopters, to and from planes. He took like 30 minutes worth of questions after this SoftBank announcement last night, SoftBank, Oracle, and OpenAI. And it's going to take a little while before we're used to and comfortable with that again, because we saw with the last administration constantly hiding from the media. At every turn, you know, pre-screened questions, reading things off of a note card, a piece of paper. I am President Joe Biden. I do not have any more comments to make. Thank you. And that's what we have become unfortunately accustomed to because of the inability for the Biden administration, well, Biden himself, to even speak and put a coherent sentence together. But more importantly, the administration and their inability, their unwillingness to discuss the issues that they were seemingly, I think it's fair to say, the issues that they were seemingly impressed with, issues that they actually cared about. They didn't really want to articulate that to the American people. Yet, of course, just one full day into the office, Trump is already doing that. With that, the New York Post is reporting this morning that Trump is slated to make his way to North Carolina on Friday. He had this to say. He was asked a question about wildfires and FEMA and all of the ongoings there. This is what President Trump had to say after this AI announcement last night. Take a listen.
We're going to take care of Los Angeles. I'm going there. I'm going to North Carolina, which has been abandoned by the Democrats. And I'm going to North Carolina, very importantly, first. I'll be there on Friday. And then I'm going from there to Los Angeles, and then I'm going to Nevada.
Trump saying there that the Democrats have abandoned North Carolina. That seems to be a relatively accurate thing to say. We discussed and went over some of the details about FEMA, talked about that, the issues that folks in the western half of this state continue to deal with months after the hurricane in Helene affected that region and that area of the state, all the way back in September, I'll mind you. So Trump's going to visit western North Carolina. That was according to the New York Post yesterday. He confirmed it last night. What exactly happens with FEMA going forward? It's not immediately clear. Diane Criswell, who is the FEMA administrator, as I understand it this morning, still has a job. These things, obviously, Trump's got to get his entire team in place. This stuff doesn't happen immediately, doesn't happen with the snap of a finger. So I'll be very curious, and we'll watch along on Friday and see what the president has to say when he is in western North Carolina as these individuals continue to search for relief and look for hope. And really, they're looking for guarantees that the federal government is not going to abandon them. That's the real risk and threat that they are dealing with this morning. That's sad. But it's the unfortunate reality of what the lack of response from the federal government has led to. Individuals concerned that they're going to get kicked out of hotels. Individuals concerned, at least here you look at North Carolina, that the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency, NCOR, as much as they botched hurricane relief in the eastern half of the state, that they're going to get that same result out west, where they're waiting 5, 6, 7 years to get back into their homes. They've already dealt with so much. They've already dealt with so much loss and devastation and destruction. We're not even talking about loss of life. We're talking about loss of physical property. So I'm very encouraged to see Trump. He mentioned it in his inauguration address. He mentioned it again yesterday. He'll be in the western half of the state. Don't know where exactly on Friday. I look forward to hearing what his comments are. We'll bring those to you coming up Monday morning, I guess, is when we'll get those. We'll have those comments coming up Monday morning. I'll be putting them up on X as well. You can give me a follow over there if you are a user of X, x.com/Nicholas M. Craig or at Nicholas, NicholasM. Craig on X, so where you can keep up to date with breaking news throughout the day and all the things of that nature. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. You are familiar with the phrase DEI. It has really taken a full-throated grasp of society in the public and private sectors. And this is the idea, and of course is all being pushed by the left, but this DEI idea is incredibly destructive. While it sounds good on paper, when you say to somebody, I'm in favor of diversity, equity, or equality, and inclusion, doesn't sound inherently bad. Who's not in favor of having diverse thought? Who's not in favor of including individuals with different ideologies and different feelings on and opinions on things? I'm all in favor of it. The Republican Party is all in favor of that. The conservative movement is in favor of that. It's the left that's not, right? If you are an individual that has a counter opinion to what's going on the left, well, then you get headlines like this over at the Post-Millennial this morning. Breaking: Antifa trans activists swarm the University of Washington's TPUSA event, forcing cancellation. Right? These are the same clowns that are pushing diversity, equity, and inclusion. They will show up to an event, create a security risk, a security concern, and shut it down. Yet they are the ones that will preach ad nauseum about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how important DEI and its efforts are. they're complete and total hypocrites, which is not anything new, not anything surprising for the left. It's really a key part of their brand. So they love DEI. They love the phrase. It is a multi-billion dollar industry in which a bunch of unqualified individuals are given big time paychecks to push diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's nonsense. And it's on the outs. And as I mentioned, it's really taken over all forms of the public and private sector, from colleges to private businesses and entities to local governments. And that takes us this morning to yesterday's New Hanover County Board of Commissioners meeting, where there was a consideration of a proclamation for the National Day of Racial Healing. A proclamation set to be signed by the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners to proclaim January the 21st as a National Day of Racial Healing, whatever the hell that means. So I'm not going to attempt to describe the proclamation. I'm going to let you hear exactly what the proclamation was and how it was read by Democrat Commissioner Rob Zappel. This is yesterday's New Hanover County Commissioners meeting. Take a listen.
The National Day of Racial Healing Proclamation. Whereas the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners and the New Hanover County Commission on African American History, Heritage, and Culture affirm that all people, regardless of their racial, ethnic group identification, skin color, or physical traits, deserve an equal opportunity to experience well-being in a just society and are committed to building communities where all can reach their full potential and thrive. And whereas all individuals have the right to safety, dignity, and humanity, and must be provided with every opportunity to grow, learn, and flourish in a nurturing environment, and whereas every individual possesses the ability to learn, grow, and change, and build communities of accountability, care, and collective action. And whereas if everyone dedicates themselves to a process that brings individuals and communities to wholeness, repairs the damage caused by racism, and affirms the inherent value of all people, everyone can bring about the necessary changes in thinking and behavior that will propel this great country forward as a society where everyone belongs. And whereas racial healing is a vital and crucial commitment to the educational, social, mental, and overall well-being of everyone, and whereas New Hanover County recognizes the Tuesday after Martin Luther King Jr. Day as the National Day of Racial Healing, and encourages all citizens to foster racial healing and collective transformation to enhance the quality of life for everyone. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners that Tuesday, January 21st, 2025, be proclaimed as the National Day of Racial Healing. Adopted this 21st day of January, 2025.
Okay. So, exactly to my point, this idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion brings forward ridiculously stupid things like what you just heard come out of Rob Zappel's mouth. The proclamation, which was supported, surprise, surprise, by the New Hanover County Department of Diversity and Equity, as well as the Commission on African American Heritage, History, and Culture, brought this forward. What is exactly the benefit of this? This is what's wrong with DEI. It constantly brings up the fact and constantly brings up this idea of systematic racism, shoves it in your face, and says, well, you have to agree to this. You have no other option to agree that systematic racism exists, continues to exist, because of your skin color, you're an oppressor or you're oppressed. It is the most destructive thing, one of the most destructive things in our society. It does not help race relations at all. It explicitly divides people based on race. That is one of the cornerstones of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the idea that New Hanover County is taking part in this kind of ridiculous gaslighting is so frustrating as a citizen. But it's not surprising. Because again, the only way that you can justify your existence in a diversity, equity, and inclusion office, which should not exist, there is absolutely no rationale or reasoning as to why local governments or governments as a whole should have DEI departments. This is the only way they can justify their existence. It's the only work that they can do. So they write these ridiculously stupid proclamations and then bring them forward. Now, New Hanover County Commissioner Dane Scalise, who won re-election back in November, was having no part of this at yesterday's commission meeting. The motion was brought forward, the proclamation was brought forward by Democrat Rob Zappel. It was seconded by Democrat Stephanie Walker. Those are the only two Democrats on the commission. And at that point, Commissioner Scalise asked to have some discussion. And he went into the details of this proclamation, its founding, where it came from, and what its roots look like. Take a listen.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to address this proclamation. I certainly agree that we should always strive to create a more fair and just society. But this proclamation isn't merely the words on the page that our diversity and inclusion department, our DEI department, has prepared for us to sign off on. This matter was previously proposed to be placed on the consent agenda. I objected to that, and I'm going to explain why. I didn't recognize this proclamation from past meetings as I was looking over our packets in preparation for today. So I looked back at prior meetings from around this time and noted that we've never previously issued this proclamation, this particular proclamation. What purpose is intended by it now?
And that's a great point. I mean, that is a phenomenal point brought up by Commissioner Scalise. This proclamation is brand new as of January the 1st, 2025. So New Hanover County in the past was not a favor of and not in fan not a fan of racial healing, whatever the hell that means. This is brand new, again, because these individuals have to justify their jobs. It's the only way that these departments continue to exist is with these ridiculously stupid proclamations, of which do literally nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it's the left's attempt to take over institution with these DEI departments and these proclamations. More from Commissioner Scalise.
I did some further research and discovered that this proclamation is a brainchild of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. In 2016, the Kellogg Foundation launched a concept called, quote, Truth, Racial Healing and Transformation, which they refer to as TRHT. Here's a quote from their website. TRHT is a comprehensive national and community-based process to plan for and bring about transformational and sustainable change and to address the historic and contemporary effects of racism. At its core, TRHT unearths the deeply held and often unconscious beliefs that undergird racism, the main one being the belief in the hierarchy of human value. This belief fuels the perception of inferiority or superiority based on race, physical characteristics, or place of origin, which then manifests in our systems, laws, policies, and personal practices. Another quote from the website, a pre-existing harmony and unity among the groups is not the case in the United States amid a deeply entrenched system of racial hierarchy and colonialization. Because of this, the Kellogg Foundation insists we must, quote, hear the truth about past wrongs and the negative impacts created by individual and systemic racism. This proclamation, in sum, is critical race theory, commonly referred to as CRT. For those that don't know, CRT is a framework that criticizes the foundations of law and order and even the Constitution itself. It insists that the United States, its founders, its history, its traditions all need to be dismantled and replaced. It groups people according to the color of their skin and assigns debits and credits to races based on assumptions about their ancestors. I am completely, totally opposed to this worldview and do not believe it is appropriate for our county to issue proclamations like this. Indeed, I contend that concepts like systemic racism and CRT only serve to further divide us. I do not consent to this proclamation.
And Commissioner Scalise, bravo to him, is spot on there. All of these things are brought forward and it only creates more division. It's blatantly obvious. Just reading directly from the proclamation, here's the brief summary. The New Hanover County Commission on African American History, Heritage, and Culture requests that the board to adopt a proclamation. Listen to this. This is what government is spending their time doing. This is what government needs to be doing. Without this, society can no longer exist. Adopt a proclamation affirming that all individuals, regardless of their racial, ethnic group identification, skin color, or physical traits, deserve an equal opportunity to experience well-being in a just society. Folks, I don't know what the hell that means. That is typical Democrat left-wing just doublespeak. Can you articulate what that means in practicality? I mean, I can read the words on the paper. I'm capable of reading and digesting what I'm looking at. But I can't put into any other additional words to describe what this is going to do. The strategic plan alignment, the justification for this, community safety and well-being. Residents feel supported and connected to their community. Build relationships and create opportunities that enhance engagement for a diverse community. How does this proclamation do that? I'm going to give you a little hint. I don't want to bury the lead here, but it doesn't. Because this is just gaslighting by the left. This is complete and total gaslighting. All of this done through diversity, equity, and inclusion, this phenomenal phrase that the left has literally beaten into every facet of our society, from your children's school to your local government, all the way up to Washington, D.C. And for what? Racial healing? In regards to what? That's the issue here. So tell me what this is going to do. Tell me how this solves or helps with race relations in the United States, or in this case, specifically New Hanover County. You can't, because it doesn't. It's stupid, ridiculous words on a piece of paper. It moves nothing forward. It absolutely accomplishes nothing. And that's why I use the phrase and the term gaslighting to describe it. Because I don't have any other way to describe this kind of left-wing articulation of what this reads and how this reads. And props to Commissioner Scalise for having the courage to call this out on the dais as these individuals from this commission are standing in front of him. There's no reason that New Hanover County should be dealing with this. We're in a budget year. You've got sky-high inflation. You've got crime that continues to be a major issue across our county and city. You've got homelessness. And the county is spending their time signing proclamations about racial unity. It's absurd. But this is how the left injects all of their woke BS into every facet of our lives. They establish these departments, in this case, the New Hanover County Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. They establish these departments in which individuals are handsomely paid as government employees getting full benefits from the taxpayers of New Hanover County, including retirement and everything else and health care associated with it. And then because they're in that post, they're in that position. These are the kinds of things they have to bring forward to justify their existence. Because if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for these kinds of proclamations being brought forward, they would do nothing. And of course, if they did nothing, then somebody might ask, why do you exist in the first place? Why does this department exist if it doesn't tangibly do anything? I think that's a fair and reasonable question to ask. But no. We write proclamations about racial unity. Again, whatever that means. Commissioner Scalise identified this and called out the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Department for what they're doing. Take a listen.
It isn't just this proclamation. Unfortunately, our county's DEI department fervently believes in these notions and attempts to inject them into our dialogue and policy at every given opportunity, including over Christmas when our DEI department facilitated an unexpected letter to the commissioners that stated, quote, anti-immigrant rhetoric, end quote. Quote, undue speculation over what status our community members have, end quote. And, quote, dehumanizing language toward immigrants, end quote, were not to be supported or condoned. This letter further states that we should expect a comprehensive resolution in support of immigrants for our consideration soon. I asked for clarification as to what drove this unsolicited letter and learned that the undeniable intention behind the supposed letter of solidarity was to advocate for New Hanover County to move toward sanctuary county status.
And there you go, folks. There's your payoff. So yes, we'll write a letter, a statement, a memorandum of understanding, or whatever stupid word we'll use to describe it, that we support people breaking the law and being in the country illegally. And as Commissioner Scalise notes, what is the goal? What is the objective of this? It's very clear. It's very simple. To become a sanctuary county. To ignore federal immigration law and to become a sanctuary county, like you've seen in other left-wing cities and states all across the nation. We're a sanctuary city where we support lawlessness. We support individuals breaking the law. Is that really what government should be doing? When you sit back and ask yourself as to what the role of government is, should it be proclamations and statements and whatever sort of other proclamation things that encourages individuals to break the law? That puts a county or a city or a town or a municipality in the place where they are actively advocating against federal immigration law? Is that really the best use of your taxpayer dollars if you are a resident of New Hanover County? I can speak as a resident of New Hanover County that just had my property tax bills paid a couple weeks ago that no, I don't think that's the best use of government's time. And that this is what these departments do. Again, they have to justify their existence. They have to do something. In this case, it seems like they're trying to work towards sanctuary county status. More from Commissioner Scalise.
A county where any opposition to illegal immigration was expressly frowned upon. I will not abide by these efforts quietly. New Hanover County will never be a sanctuary county so long as I have something to say about it. The rule of law matters deeply to me. I believe that illegal entry undermines legal immigration processes and the legal system as a whole. I will not apologize for this policy stance. Why do I bring this up now? Well, to bring it back to this proclamation before us today, one of the Kellogg Foundation's explicit goals is to advance the idea that one may not, must not, oppose illegal immigration in order to achieve alleged racial healing. This is, of course, flatly wrong. Not only wrong, these positions with respect to immigration laws and DEI policy are arguably advocating for us to violate the law, which is unacceptable and puts the county at legal risk.
Amen to that. Commissioner Scalise firing on all cylinders. Would you believe me if I told you that diversity, equity, and inclusion is a $10 plus billion industry? Would you believe me if I told you that? Probably not, because you would say, well, that's absurd. How is DEI a $10 billion industry? $10 plus billion, I should say. Well, unfortunately, folks, that's the reality. According to multiple studies, DEI is now over a $10 billion industry that is projected to reach $24.5 billion by 2030. Now, I suspect that that projection of $24.5 billion is set to be rolled back pretty handedly. And I think it's because of the change that you're seeing in society right now, where you have individuals really starting to question and wonder, what are the goals and objectives of things like DEI? I mean, that's a fair question to ask when you look at the size of the industry and you look at the impact that it supposedly has. What exactly is the payoff on all of this? You're familiar with the phrase, or the acronym ROI, return on investment. What is the ROI on DEI? What are we getting as taxpayers when government involves itself in this? What are we getting as taxpayers in terms of ROI? Right, I pay my property taxes like you every year, pay my sales taxes every time I go to the store. And what do I get in return? I get core services, which is what government provides in exchange for what I pay. I get those core services. I get things like law enforcement, funding of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Department. We have funding for the public education system through the county. That money comes from your, my taxpayer dollars, and it gets funneled over to the New Hanover County school system. Those are just two of the very basic examples of core services that we get in return for paying taxes. What is DEI's return on investment? What am I getting in exchange for funding this program? We saw the calamity that was Port City United. We watched that completely and miraculously blow up last year. A group and an entity that was mismanaged, had absolutely no goals or objectives, that was cut out of the budget, and rightfully so, because they could not provide any value to the taxpayers. They could not provide any value to the New Hanover County commissioners, who decided to scrap the department because they weren't doing anything. I mean, they were just collecting paychecks and hosting public meetings and posting on Facebook. Tell me how it's improving my life. Tell me the core service that I'm getting from funding diversity, equity, and inclusion. Commissioner Scalise brings that same point up, talks about the future of the DEI department. Take a listen.
Finally, this is not our proper role. We should be solely focused on providing the best possible core services to our community while maintaining law and order and not taxing our citizens to death. These proclamations not only don't help us to do that, they actually make our elected responsibilities harder. I will conclude by saying two things. Number one, I believe many of our proclamations and resolutions of late are misguided and inappropriate for our public work. We have gone far afield of what we should be focused on and are losing sight of our primary responsibilities to our citizens. We should not allow a race-based and legally dubious ideology to yield the power of the county. As such, moving forward, I plan to vote no on all such proclamations and resolutions that are not directly related to the county's most fundamental work. Perhaps it will appear strange at times, but it is my principled stand against a mistaken course of action. Number two, the county's Office of Diversity and Inclusion, or the DEI department, has amply demonstrated that it should not be funded in this year's or future budgets. It is time, as President Trump correctly noted during his inaugural address yesterday, to, quote, end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. I will work tirelessly to make that a reality at the local level during our coming budget discussions. And I will not be alone in my efforts. The public now recognizes DEI as a charged term because it is understood correctly as a practice that demands preferential treatment of some groups over others. The rest of the world is also waking up to the reality that DEI offices are antithetical to productivity and morale, let alone the mounting legal risk. This is why DEI offices are being unwound most recently at Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, the federal government, NASDAQ, McDonald's, Walmart, Lowe's, John Deere, the state of Florida, and many others, citing the U.S. Supreme Court's view that the discrimination inherent in DEI should not be promoted. We should take notice and act accordingly. Thank you for allowing me to express my opinions, Mr. Chairman. I speak in love and respect for all citizens of our county who are looking for their government to provide excellent core services without improper and divisive distractions, such as this proclamation. I therefore respectfully vote no.
And that's exactly what happened. Commissioner Scalise was the only of the commissioners to vote no. The proclamation did pass 4-1. I'll note that Republicans do have a 3-2 majority on the New Hanover County Board of Commissions. However, the resolution still passed. And I really want to hone in, I'm not going to rehash what Commissioner Scalise just said, because he said it so articulately and did such a good job articulating his thoughts. But he kept focusing and hammering on one thing: core services. When we look at federal, state, and local governments and the out-of-control spending that we see, and why it seems like every time that you open up a new, well, you don't open up newspapers anymore, but anytime you check out your local news website and there's any discussion about local government, what's going on, what's happening, well, they're raising property taxes. It's because their eye is off the ball. They are spending their time, most governments are spending their time on things like diversity, equity, and inclusion. Programs like Port City United, which his whole goal was to stop violence. Remember? I mean, you remember this, don't you? Only to have an employee of the county government drive an underage individual to a housing project in downtown Wilmington, where he then proceeded to attempt to kill another person. The county employee was charged with accessory after the fact of attempted murder. So that's the kind of track record that these stupid programs have just in New Hanover County, just in our small little area here in Wilmington. That's the kind of track record that we're dealing with. A county employee, as part of a violence prevention program funded by you and I, the taxpayers, drove an underage individual to go shoot and kill somebody else. Bravo, DEI. Bravo, Port City United. You did a masterful job. And we saw that department abolished. We saw their funding stripped, and it no longer exists. Because they weren't doing anything. And actually, what they were doing was counter to literally their stated goal and objective. And from comments there from Commissioner Scalise, he says that he is going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that the DEI department is not funded in this upcoming budget cycle, which begins, you know, essentially in the next couple of weeks and months. County budgets are due by June 1st. Same thing with city and state. June 1st is when the new budget year starts. And this is going to be a fight, the same way that Port City United was a fight. Talked about that continually on the radio. And the end result was the department was abolished because they couldn't justify what their objective was. They couldn't provide any sort of tangible accomplishments to the county. And in a couple of cases, it was actually completely opposite of their stated goal. individuals being charged with drug offenses, accessory after the fact to attempted murder. That's what Port City United birthed. And Commissioner Scalise highlighted what President Trump mentioned in his inaugural address and what he did with an executive order, which is all federal agencies were ordered to shut down their DEI offices. We talked about this yesterday when we went through all of the EOs signed by Trump on Monday, but one of those was signing an executive order eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion from federal agencies. And on Tuesday, the Office of Personnel Management issued a memo instructing all federal agencies to close those DEI departments by Wednesday. As I check my calendar this morning, that's today. The memo contained instructions on how agency heads should go about shuttering their DEI offices by, quote, no later than 5 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2025, agency heads must send a memo notifying employees of the closure and ask employees, quote, if they know of any efforts to disguise these programs. All workers in those DEI departments will be placed on paid administrative leave effective immediately as these various agencies take steps to close and end their DEI initiatives, as well as their offices and programs. Ahead of this, the FBI notably shuttered their DEI division ahead of the inauguration, meaning that they would not be able to find alternative positions for their employees in that department. The executive order on ending radical and wasteful government DEI programs and performing reads, quote, the Biden administration forced illegal and immoral discrimination programs going by the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion into virtually all aspects of the federal government in areas ranging from airline safety to the military. This was a concentrated effort stemming from President Joe Biden's first day in office when he issued Executive Order 13985, advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities. Biden signed this order during his first day in office in 2021, along with a series of other orders on gender. Trump's EO continues and says, pursuant to Executive Order 13985 and following orders, nearly every federal agency and entity submitted equality action plans to detail the ways that they have furthered DEI infiltration of the federal government. The public release of these plans demonstrated immense public waste and shameful discrimination, because that's what it is, discrimination. Government-sponsored and paid-for discrimination. The EO says, quote, that ends today. Americans deserve a government committed to serving every person with equal dignity and respect, and to expending precious taxpayer resources only on making America great. Do you have any objection to that? Are you clamoring or chomping at the bit to reinstate diversity, equity, and inclusion? I don't think so. Because there's issues in politics. They're often described as like 80-20 issues. And this is one of them. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. We'll continue that conversation coming up here in just a minute. I want to let you know how you can get access to our daily show notes and more. Visit patreon.com/Nick Craig. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. You get access to the daily show notes, access to exclusive content, including a monthly kind of Google Hangout, Zoom, Google live stream that we're going to be doing and chatting with the individuals that are subscribed to the Patreon. There's two different subscription levels, $5 or $10 a month. If you believe and think you're getting any value from the show and want to help and financially support that, I encourage you to do that over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We've had a couple of very generous people already come alongside the program. I really, seriously can't thank them enough for supporting me in this endeavor as we, again, break away from the corporate media structure and go solo here, covering the news and issues of the day, specifically here in southeastern North Carolina. So DEI is on the out. I mean, there's no question about it. You've got Trump screaming this from the Oval Office in Washington, D.C., signing executive orders. DEI offices within the federal government will literally be shuttered by 5 p.m. today, less than 12 hours from right now. And as you heard in Commissioner Scalise's comments, many private businesses are also making drastic changes to their diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Why is that the case? Because this stuff is toxic. It is so toxic. And I was really surprised to see business lap this up as much as they did. But of course, they were dealing with the threat of cancel culture. Right? You don't have a DEI department, the leftist mobs start targeting you with boycotts and things like that. That's very bad for business. But unlike government, private industry has to show some sort of ROI. They are, in many cases, if it's a public traded company, every single time, they are responsible to their shareholders. If it's a private company, maybe there's a small kind of board of directors or something like that that the company is responsible to. The CEO, the head, whatever the president, whatever the title is, they are responsible to that board or shareholders. And we found out that DEI and its $10 billion plus dollar industry is just a huge freaking waste of money and time. However, some individuals continue to push the narrative. There's this group, I found this article over at the Saramount Industry, which their state of objective is to build a stronger, more inclusive workforce. So this is one of these companies that goes in, strong arms business into introducing diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they've got an interesting article out. This is from October of last year. The headline is Corporate DEI Still Matters. The proof is in the data. Oh, okay. They say we talked to the majority of our 600 plus clients. These clients are individuals that use Saramount to have diversity, equity, and inclusion. We talked to a majority of our 600 plus clients and found that 80% of the companies are maintaining their DEI efforts, with an additional 10% doubling down. That leaves only 10% scaling back their efforts. Largely companies that never viewed DEI as a business imperative to begin with. The data speaks for itself. In a recent national study of employees on all points of the political spectrum, Saramount found that over 3/4 of U.S. workers report being committed to helping their employers fight racism and injustice. And nearly 80% say it's important for their company to foster an inclusive culture. You think this study was a little politically leaning? 3/4 of U.S. workers are committed to fighting racism and injustice? What does that mean? You work over at John Deere and you're fighting racism and injustice? How? I mean, walk me through the process of how you are fighting racism and injustice. I can't understand. My conservative mindset doesn't allow me to understand such complex topics like DEI. So explain how you're doing these things at your company. You're not. Again, gaslighting. I've continued to use that phrase throughout the show this morning. Interest in our annual U.S. Inclusion Index and related studies is on the rise. Year after year, companies invest significant time answering hundreds of questions about their policies, programs, and benefits, as well as demonstrating their dedication to DEI. These surveys not only serve as a tool for introspection, but allow companies to benchmark their progress against peers. The challenges revealed by our quantitative data often lead to the most powerful or the most impactful changes. For over 40 years, our 100 Best Companies for Working Parents list has provided a wealth of data, painting a rich picture of how the workplace has evolved and where it's heading. This commitment isn't about checking a box, it's about growth. Their data-driven surveys like ours are vital and continue to serve as a powerful recruitment and retention tool for corporations. Companies are constantly competing, whether for market share or top talent. Consumers increasingly want to support brands that align with their values and job seekers, particularly from Gen Z. In fact, 83% of Gen Z job seekers consider a company's commitment to DEI when deciding their work. Complete and total BS. Capital B, capital S. Now, of course, because they have to have this outward projection of wokeism, they probably tell this Seramount company that, yeah, oh yes, we absolutely, when I'm deciding where I'm working, one of the huge things I'm looking at is their diversity, equity, and inclusion program. I'm not looking, salary, vacation, benefits, meh, that stuff's not important to me. What does your DEI efforts look like? And while I'm sure there's a select few that are dying on the cross of diversity, equity, and inclusion, this whole article, which is from October, you'll note before the election, these companies that provide these services, because that's really what DEI is. Now, this is more prominent in corporate America than it is within government. But in corporate America, you pay a firm to train you on diversity, equity, and inclusion. You hire them for trainings and all these other great things that you can shove down the throat of your employees. So, with Trump now in the Oval Office, slashing DEI at the federal level, and putting these departments, these entities on watch, these businesses are panicking. Because as I mentioned, it's a $10 plus billion industry. These individuals are getting rich, filthy rich, over this scam phrase and term, DEI. They are generating so much wealth, so much revenue, by strong-arming companies into DEI. So the idea that some of these programs are on the outs big time, which they are, contrary to what this stupid study says about how, oh, of our 600 partners, 80% of them say they're keeping their blah, blah, blah. What doesn't matter? DEI is on the out, as it should be. It should have never been on the in, yet it was. This is the importance of having strong leadership in Washington, D.C. And while Trump's executive order only deals with the federal government, that EO signals to local governments, to private business and industry, that it's okay to push back against the leftist mob, because that's who's driving all of this. This is not being driven by actual issues of race and discrimination. This is being driven by a leftist mob who understands how big of a business this is. They understand how much revenue and income they can generate by waltzing into a company, claiming that the company's not diverse enough, threatening boycotts and cancel culture against them, unless you hire us to handle your diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. They are strong-arming and you know, essentially blackmailing these companies into hiring these firms to provide these very important services, as they'll remind you, they're so important. And I'm glad that Trump is doing this on the federal level. I'm glad individuals like New Hanover County Commissioner Dane Scalise are fighting this at the local level, because this stuff has got to go. We've got so many issues that we are dealing with as a society right now. We have trillions of dollars in debt that we are facing. We have entitlement systems like Social Security that are on the precipice of bankruptcy. And we are having full-on conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion offices that do nothing more than bring forward proclamations, memorandums of understanding, and other fictitious things to justify their own existence. That's a real problem in my book. Props to Commissioner Scalise, props to Trump for calling this nonsense and this garbage out as for what it is. It provides no value, and it doesn't help any of the quote-unquote issues that it's trying to solve. All of these indexes and all of the metrics, it's a feedback loop. The metrics are created by the companies providing the services so they can provide more of the services to the companies. It's an awful repeating cycle. But that's DEI. That's the whole brand. And I'm very excited and I'm hopeful that it is stripped out of the federal government at a rapid rate, and then that trickles down to state and local governments. There's just no justification. There's no need for it at all. Taking another look at the weather this morning as we wrap up our show on this Wednesday, about 3 inches of snow, 2.6 inches of snow total at the Wilmington International Airport, where they do those measurements for the snowfall over at the National Weather Service. And snow, well, it is at least done for right now. Not expecting any more snowfall throughout the day. You can see the sun is now rising over at, or sun is now risen over at Wrightsville Beach. You can see the surf rolling in, some snow there on the roof of, I guess that's not, is that Johnny Mercer's Pier? I'm not sure exactly what pier that, it might be the Oceanic Pier. But the snow on the beach and the water and the surf rushing in. So with that, however, temperatures are set to be blisteringly cold over the next couple of days. Low temperatures tonight are expected to be in the teens. We could be looking at temperatures 15, 16, 17 degrees tonight. Temperatures tomorrow will be in the mid-30s ahead of another cool down tomorrow night. Then we get back into the 40s and 50s and even maybe some 60s as we head into next week. So some pretty treacherous weather driving conditions today. If you don't have to get out, it's probably the best to do so. And again, this webcam this morning, courtesy of SurfChecks, SurfChex.com, providing these live shots from Wrightsville Beach. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget that you can listen to the podcast 24/7 in your favorite podcast app by just simply searching for the Nick Craig Show. We are back live tomorrow morning starting at 7 a.m. right here on our YouTube, Rumble, and X accounts. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy your snow day.